Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Yeah, our lesson is on foundations. We've been talking about things like the Bible and worship and church and what these foundational truths really are. Actually, we're teaching through the tenets of faith, the foundations of the Christian faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, if you hear his sayings and do them, you're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings and does not do them, isn't it interesting? Both people heard. Most people know what's right. They know what's good. They know what's godly. They know what's Bible, but they do not do them. They'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. Great was its fall. So you and I can choose to build our lives in a way that they'll withstand the storms of life. It's up to us. Storms are going to come. God doesn't stop the storms of life. They come even when Jesus walked on the earth, he faced storms. The Apostle Paul had to face the storms of life, sicknesses, diseases, economic changes, political, governmental changes. That's part of our world. But if you obey God, you hear it and you do it, you'll win. You'll overcome. No matter what political party's in charge, no matter what government you happen to be involved with, no matter what storm may come your way, your house can stand, your marriage can last, your kids can grow up blessed, your life can be a testimony of the goodness of God. That's our choice. And so we choose to build on the foundations of God's word because we want our house to last. In the last couple of years, we've done a few funerals, some from COVID, some from cancers and accidents and the normal challenges that we face all the time. And I have realized that some families are so hurting and so lost and so confused. Some are angry at God. Some don't understand why. And others can rejoice in the life of their family member who's gone on to be with the Lord, can share of the great stories and the wonderful years together and how good their relationship was. You see, even in death, we find out who built on the solid rock and who's built on the sand. So no matter what the storm or challenge or problem that we face, if we know we're standing in God, strong on God's word, living God's word, we win. I mean, the worst thing you can do to me is send me to heaven. Sounds pretty good. Paul said, to die is gain and to live is Christ. So how are you building? Well, we've talked about many parts of the foundation. Today, I want to talk about your money. Now, in case you want to run for the doors, I've instructed the ushers to lock the doors. Because many people don't want to talk about money when they come to church, right? Because their money is very important to them. You can talk about anything else you want to talk about. Prayer and worship and Holy Spirit and Bible, all that stuff's fine. You start talking about their money, and now they're not happy. Some people have said to me, I would come to your church, but I've been told all you talk about is money. Obviously, if they've never been here, they don't know. We'll teach one or two lessons a year about finances, but really, we spend all of our time talking about Jesus and worship and prayer and healing and salvation. We talk about a lot of things. We don't talk about money that much. But I do get that comment pretty regularly. I'd come to your church, but I know all you talk about is money. Which means they're very concerned about money, right? That's the big deal in many people's lives. Sometimes you find out people's lack of Bible knowledge as they're defending their position about money. It's kind of like politicians when they start quoting scripture. They usually let you know how far they are from any kind of connection with God or understanding of God's word. When a politician starts quoting the Bible, you're getting ready to hear something funny. It's happened even recently, and I thought, wow, these people have no idea what they're talking about. But when it comes to money, I hear a lot of people quote scriptures. Well, you know, the Bible said money is the root of all evil. Well, no, it doesn't say that. That's not in the Bible. In fact, God wants to give you money, and he wants you to have more money. If you were to ask me, what's God's will concerning finances, I would say that you have more. But the Bible does say the love of money is the root of all evil. When it becomes a priority and the goal of your life, you're probably going to have some problems. Now, if I ask the average person here today, tell me some of your goals. They probably have to do with career and money. I want my income to increase. I want to get a new home. I want to have a career in this area so I can make more money. Most people don't have goals like, I want to give more. I want my children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want my marriage to be a testimony of Jesus and his church. So money is a big deal to all of us, and rightly so, but are we building on God's foundation? Are we managing money God's way? Another way that we hear people quote scripture is they'll say things like, well, you know, tithing and all that stuff is from the Old Testament. Another confession that you have no biblical knowledge. When you don't know the Bible, it's best to not quote the Bible. You just tell everybody how stupid you are. Tithing started way before the Old Testament. Tithing continued on through the law, and tithing went into the New Testament where Jesus taught you ought to tithe. But people often defend their position rather than seek God's position. So I would just ask you this morning, are you building your house on the rock? Are you building your life on the solid foundation that's going to stand when the economy changes? It's going to stand if the dollar goes away. It's going to stand if the Republicans are in office or the Democrats are in office. It's going to stand no matter what storm comes your way. What are you building your life on? Now, keep in mind, God's not trying to take anything from you. I know some of you in the room right now, you've tightened up, you've crossed your arms, you've crossed your legs, you are as closed as you can get. Because you're thinking, he's going to try to get something from me. Listen, I don't want anything from you. You probably don't have anything that cool anyway. And God doesn't want anything. What would God want from us? What would we have that would impress God? He doesn't want anything from you. Church doesn't want anything from you. No, we're serving God. We're living with him for him. What we do here at church is try to get you connected to God. Try to get you building on the solid rock. Try to get you living in the blessing of the Lord. It's up to you. If you don't want it, that's okay. But that's all we live for here at Christian Faith. Tomorrow morning, we'll start having meetings. There'll be several of us in meetings. What we're talking about is how do we help people? How do we serve? How can we do better with the children? How can we do more for the teenagers? What can we do for the young adults? What else can happen in our sanctuary that'll cause more people to come to the Lord and walk with the Lord? That's all we talk about. So if you're worried about losing something, you're really off. You're missing our whole vision is to give you something. It's to get you to a better place, help you be saved, healed, strong in the Lord, blessed in the Lord, marriage happy, finances in abundance. That's God's will for your life. No one's trying to take anything. You don't have anything that's cool anyway. I mean, God could sit down with Jeff Bezos and say, bro, you're not that impressive. I mean, 100 billion, is that all? Really? You know, God lives in a realm so far beyond what we think. And we're hanging on to our little things, realizing if you open your hand, God will put more in it. He's not trying to get anything. He's trying to help lift you and give to you. Amen. It's true. So let's build on that rock. Now, most of us don't know the state of our finances. As we've talked with people through the years, 40 years trying to help people financially, and oftentimes here at Christian Faith, we help people pay their debt, pay their car, they're getting their electricity turned off, we're paying their bills. We're trying to help people get out of financial pressures, and one of the things we do is talk to them about what do they owe? Where are they at? What's your income? What's your outgo? What's your debt load? And what interest rates are you paying on your various debts? Most people don't have any idea. Okay? I'm not picking on anybody today. I'm just challenging you. Do you even know what's going on with your money? Because it's all important to us. We all want money. We want the government to send us more money. We'll vote in a party who promises to send us money. So we know it's important, but do you know? The lady that bought the $100 dress, put it on the credit card, didn't pay it off for 2 years, doesn't know she paid $300 for that dress. Because the credit card's 18% interest. And every month you're just paying interest. You're not even paying off the principal. Most people don't know what's going on with their finances. I've asked many people through the years, what is your tithe? Now, the Bible teaches about tithing, and that's giving the first tenth. The word tithe simply means a tenth. Tithing isn't giving $5 or $10 or whatever. It's giving the first tenth. What's your tithe? Most people don't know what their tithe is. They don't know what 10% of their income is. And many people think they're tithing, but aren't. Even church staff members through the years, right? We've been at it for 40-some years. And people working at the church, you would think, man, they love the church. They're here serving. They're working here. They're committed. I've chatted with a few of them. Hey, bro, did you know you're not tithing? Yes, I am. No, you make $1,000. Your tithe would be $100. You gave 50 bucks last year. Oh, I thought I was tithing. Most people don't know. So the book of Proverbs teaches you know the state of your herds. Well, you don't have any herds. Know the state of your money. Know the state of your income and your outgo. Know how much interest you're paying. Can you get it down? Can you pay less? Can you save? What can you do to improve the state of your finances? When you start following God, God will make you financially wise and take you to places you never thought possible. So if you could believe today, if you could believe, no one's trying to take anything from you. You don't have anything that cool. People are trying to give more to you. God's trying to get more into your life. God would like you, a Christian, to have more rather than just let the world take it all. The world will use it for evil. You would use it for good. God wants to bring increase into your life. Can I get an amen right there? All right, so that's it. Let's make sure we remember that. God's trying to bring increase. Now, tithing. giving the first tenth. Remember, God isn't impressed when you give your leftovers, right? Leftovers, that's, well, at the end of the month, I had 50 bucks. I'm gonna throw it in the bucket, right? A lot of people talk like that. Well, I threw 50 bucks in the bucket. No, I gave my first 10% because I honor God. I didn't throw it, I gave it. Well, you know, pastor's always on my back. So I guess I better give something. You know what, you should keep it. Because the Bible said when you give without spirit, you are cursed. So we're not just throwing it in the bucket. We had $10 of income. The first tenth, the first dollar is God's. I'm happy to give it. I'm thanking God I can be a part of his kingdom and I wanna live in his economy. And then I'm gonna give an offering. We taught our children whenever they got a few dollars, first dollar's God's, then an offering. You want to help somebody, bless something, a missionary, a children's church, whatever. And then you got to save some. Then you got to take care of food and those essentials. And then you have a couple of dollars left over. That's life. If you spend all your money, now you're waiting for the next paycheck. Most people live week to week, month to month, year to year, trying to get by, trying to catch up. I'm trying to catch up. If your vision is to get out of debt, right? I have a vision. I'm going to get out of debt. I've talked to a lot of people. What's your vision financially? Well, I'm going to get the bills paid off. I'm going to get out of debt. School bills, college bills, credit card bills, all the bills. Okay, what are you going to do when you get out of debt? Not a clue. So in other words, you got to get back in debt so you can get out of debt because your vision is to pay off the debt. So you live in a cycle. How come I got it paid off and now I'm right back in debt again? That's your vision. Your vision is to get out of debt. It's like losing 10 pounds. My vision is to lose 10 pounds. Well, I lost 10 pounds. How come I gained it back? Because you got to gain it back so you can fulfill your vision, which is to lose 10 pounds. Every time I lose 10 pounds, then I gain it back. Why? Because you don't have a vision to live healthy, to be fit, to be happy, to be prosperous. So maybe step one is get out of debt, but the vision is to live in abundance. So first goes to God. Amen? Now, let's say I just decided I'm gonna give everybody on the front row a dollar. You'd be like, okay, cool, pastor gave me a dollar. But you wouldn't be impressed, because what are you gonna do with a dollar? I mean, you'd lose a dollar, you wouldn't even know it. It's not that much. You can't even buy a coffee with a dollar. Even at the church cafe, latte's like $5 or something, right? I mean, we'll give you a free cup of coffee, but if you want mocha frappuccino, half-calf, decaf with a spot of foam, it's gonna be $10. So a dollar's not that big a deal in our world. So you'd be like, nah, okay, no big deal. But my income's going up because I'm a hard worker, I'm diligent, I'm following God. Now my income's $100. I got 10 $10 bills. Whew, I got money now, $100. Now if I came to the front row and I said, hey guys, I'm gonna give $10 to everybody on the front row, you in the back would be like, dang, I should have sat up front today. First time I ever went to church and they gave me anything. Which is a lie because we're always trying to give you something. But $10 now starts to be meaningful, right? Starts to be significant. Okay, $10, I could get a coffee, you know, half a sandwich, whatever. Starts to mean something. $10 gets my attention. My income's 100, first 10 goes to God. Then I'm gonna give some offering and generosity. Some people say your tithe is your obedience, your offering is your generosity. Most people never get to offerings because they never tithe. So I gave my tithe, 10 bucks, in my offering, blessed my friends, people at church, whatever I felt, and then I paid my bills and got some food and I got a few left. That's how we live. I'm saving, I'm not spending it all. I'm in God's economy now. Now God starts setting me up for a better job, a better income, a new opportunity. Now God starts looking out for my equipment so it's not breaking down and costing me money every time I turn. You ever met that person who cannot catch a break? The washer breaks, the car breaks, transmission went out, rear end fell out on the freeway. Everything's always going wrong for that person. Why? Because they live under the curse. They've built their house on sand. So $10, man, starts to be meaningful. But I'm working hard. I'm going for God. Now I got $1,000. Now I'm making some money. $1,000 a week, $4,000 a month. Come on, somebody. I'm rich. First 100 goes to God. But wait, 100? Does God really need 100? Here's what many of you have said. When I get more money, I'll start tithing. I'm here to tell you, you won't. Because if you can't give $1, it's not that big a deal. You'll never give $100. That starts being a deal. You could buy some of your food for a few days for the kids with $100. You could buy that blanket you need. You could get that ticket to the game you want to go to. All of a sudden, $100 starts being something. If you didn't tithe when it was 10, ain't no way you're going to tithe when it's 100. In other words, you got to start where you are. I started tithing when I was giving from a welfare check. I was taking state money and mixing it with the church. Yeah, back then we called it public assistance. Because if you're on public assistance, you're better off than the guy that's on welfare. But that's where I started tithing. How many know I'm not on public assistance anymore? Yeah, because you get into God's economy, he'll get you out of Spanaway. I love you, Spanaway. And Parkland. So you got your $1,000. Can you give 100 to God? Can you give an offering? Bless a missionary, help the open doors, take care of this needs of folks on the street. Never give money to a person on the street. You're just buying cigarettes and beer. But you give to the food bank, you give to the counseling, you give to the center. Now they support, they help, they heal. If a guy just wants cash, he wants to keep his addiction. If they want help, we'll build a place, we'll provide people, we'll help them get the help that they need. But boy, $100. I mean, that'll take care of some things that I need. And so what happens is, as you get more money, you never start tithing. You always spend it all. And then you wonder, where's God when I need him? Now you're facing challenges, marriage, health, career, retirement. Where's God? You never got in on God's economy. You always did your thing your way. You love the money more than you love the Lord. You love the stuff more than you loved obeying God. So you have to decide, do I build on the sand or do I build on the rock? So today I was going to give $100 to everybody on the front row. Forget it, I'm keeping it. Tithing is your way into God's economy. Tithing's where you get in, right? If you don't have Boeing stock, no matter how much money they make, you get none. Amazon stock, Starbucks stock, Nordstrom stock. If you don't buy stock, you get no dividends. You get no increase. You get no benefits. If you want the blessing of God, you got to get in on God's economy. Start tithing. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, tithing is the beginning. In the Old Testament, they brought their tithe. God blessed their land. God blessed their herds. God took care of them. In the New Testament, Jesus said, you ought to tithe. And Paul said, Moses talked about it this morning. When you're generous, you reap a generous harvest. So tithing is your way in. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the book of wisdom said, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns or your life will be filled with plenty and overflow with new wine. God always wants you to have more than enough. Plenty, overflow. That's how Jesus helped the fishermen, fed the multitudes, always overflow. Number two, tithing establishes what is sacred in your life, what is holy in your life. Have you ever thought about it? What is sacred to you? What is holy to you? In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, the Bible said, the tithe of the land, all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. One translation said, it is sacred. Have you ever thought about it? What is sacred to you? Probably not many things, but there should be a few things that are sacred. This morning as we were worshiping, you know, church, I've been going to church for 45 years now. And I don't think I've missed a Sunday service in 45 years. I'm not always teaching, but I'm always in church because God's house is sacred to me. And I'm standing on the front row and they were singing, hell lost another one, I am free, I am free. I am free. I can't dance like Moses, but I was kind of shaking it a little bit. But I'm just saying, and I had tears in my eyes. Now I've been worshiping for 45 years, and yet it's sacred to me. It's still awesome to me. It's like more important than anything else. I'm going to be here in God's house worshiping God because it's sacred. Well, and I can think of things like praying with my children. I started walking and praying with them before they knew what I was doing, right? They couldn't even talk. They were just babies. And still today, now they're adults, I can pray with them. I can speak God's word. That's sacred to me. My son is a sergeant in the army. He's this tough guy, right? He's walking around cursing out his soldiers and doing whatever soldiers do. But when I'm talking to him, I'm praying for him. I'm speaking the word into him. I'm talking to him as a father and a son. That's sacred to me. What's sacred to you? What is holy in your life? Well, the Bible said tithing is holy. So tithing is not giving God your leftovers. Tithing is giving God your first. And it's sacred. And what I give to God is more important than what I give to the bank. Well, I mean, if I don't give the bank their money, my credit score is going to go down. Yeah, a lot more is going to happen when you're not worshiping God, when you're not building on the foundation. You're worried about your credit score. There's a whole lot more in your life. What is sacred? What is holy to you? So tithing gets me in God's economy and establishes what is sacred. In Malachi chapter 3, the Bible said, will a man rob God? And the people said, no way, we would never rob you. And the Lord said, yes, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, I want you to notice it didn't say God cursed them. No, they put themselves under a curse because they didn't build on the foundation. You are cursed with a curse when you do your own thing, not God's thing. Many people are wondering, why does it feel like I'm just cursed? My marriage fails, my health fails, finances fail. Why do I feel like this curse? When you get outside of God's plan, you're living in the world. This prince of the power of the air, principalities and powers of the devil is out there. And the people were cursed with a curse, for they had robbed God. Well, they said, what do we do? What's the answer? How do we fix it? The Lord said, bring all the tithe into the story. Isn't that something? He didn't say fast for a week. He didn't say you need to pray more. He didn't say you need a haircut. He said, bring your tithe. Why? Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Right? You can sit in church and go, yeah, yeah, preacher, you're all good. Until it costs you. Then we find out what you really believe. Until your money gets involved, now we find out what's really important. It's funny how we'll spend money. We'll spend money on stuff that other people think is weird, but we like it, so we spend the money. Spend money on a car. Spend money on a motorcycle. And Wendy's looking at me like, are you crazy? How much did that part cost? You don't want to know, babe. Not that important. But I thought it was cool to have those parts on my motorcycle, so the money was spent. And yet when it comes to God, is he a priority? Is he important? Is he cool? So bring the tithe into the storehouse and try me. The old King James said, prove me that I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. God's not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to bless you. But if you can't follow him, he can't bless you. You got to stay close to God. You got to be with him when the blessing's poured out. If you're off doing your own thing, doing it your way, I don't believe all that. Who needs God? I'm living my life. I'm spending my own money. Okay. But when the government crashes, when the dollar's gone, when you're now back on welfare and hoping they send the check soon, maybe you should have stayed with God. Maybe God had a better plan. When you're trying to retire and you need care and you don't have enough and there's no one around to help, maybe you should have stayed close to God. You know why people look to their retirement years with fear and anxiety? Because they feel alone. I look to my retirement years as the years I'll be giving stuff away. Because when I die on my last day, I'm writing my last check. I'm giving it all away. When I die, my kids are going to be like, thank the Lord he's gone. Look at what he gave us. You here in church and be like, thank God he's out of here. We're so tired of listening to that guy. Like 120 years old, he's still trying to tell us something. Yeah, but my retirement years are just giving it all away. But to the average person in the world, retirement is anxiety and fear and worry. Because they're not walking with God. They're doing their thing instead of God's thing. Well, I think I'm way over time here, aren't I? Here's the best part of the prophet in Malachi chapter 3. I will rebuke the devourer for you. God said, I will rebuke the devourer. Many times the Bible said, you cast out demons. You bind them. You loose them. You have the authority. But only one time did the Bible say God will rebuke the devil. And that's when it comes to your tithe. Wendy often says things that aren't necessarily grammatically correct, but they are biblically correct. And every time someone said, how'd that work out for you guys? Wendy says, tithing blessing. Tithing blessing. How'd you get that deal done? Tithing blessing. How come you got that new property? Tithing blessing. How come that policeman didn't give you a ticket? Tithing blessing. How come that loan went through so quick and your interest rate was so low? Tithing blessing. That's what happens when you're in God's economy.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.